Blog Talk Radio.
Well, 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 my brothers and sisters, yes, indeed, I thank the Father. Yes, I thank him. I thank him for the opportunity. Yes, indeed, I thank him for the opportunity to be back with you here again. I welcome you to the show. This is Edemya, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Thank the Most High indeed for the opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these very precious words, these very, very precious words that the Most High has granted me for the blessing of his people. For he told me that indeed I have for him some very important things for him to do. Yes, and blessed is every year. I thank the Most High for every year that he brings near. He told me that I have indeed some very important things for him to do. And he told me because of what I must do, he said to me that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, I would have his protection and his guidance. For that, my brothers and sisters, I can only be utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could. Yes, indeed, everything they could since the dawn of human fall. To hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and all my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. I thank the Most High, my brothers and sisters, that he has promised, in spite of all these scheming efforts on the part of men. The Most High has promised, yes, indeed, he has promised a day. And he said he would bring forth the restoration, the restitution, the remembrance of all things. Yes, my brothers and sisters, a day which he would bring remembrance. All things, call man to the attention concerning all things. The Most High has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since this world began. Hear, my brothers and sisters, the truth of the matter is that indeed it is indeed blessed. And blessed are they whom Most High has granted power from on high to discern the word of him who he sends, to relate beyond the multitude of hasty conclusions that are in this world, or the hasty conclusion that has come as a result of man exalting partial perception, surface level, supposed understanding, choosing to be satisfied with the multitude of divisions and debates and doubts that exist in this world, rather than realize the Most High has a plan beyond all division unto his pure and perfect vision. So blessed are they who have power from on high, faith in the Most High, even as the faith of Abraham, to believe the Most High shall indeed consecrate a world perfectly, my brothers and sisters, that he has power to consecrate a world after the will of one. Blessed are they who have power from on high to discern the word then, my brothers and sisters, the one that is mentioned in Isaiah 28, Most High is a mighty and a strong one, that he will give rest to the earth by his hands. Blessed are those who will discern the word then, my brothers and sisters, of one whom the scripture speaks. It says the word of Yah will be line upon line, precept upon precept, measuring line to the plummet. The word, my brothers and sisters, of him whom the scripture said, for many it will be a vexation and a terror to understand, and that they have not sought the secrets contained in the scripture, that are only discerned when man, by the power of Yah, discerns how every word of the Most High is absolutely important. Scripture says, in fact, brothers and sisters, if we understand it well, Scripture says the word of Yah, line upon line, precept upon precept, is the word, my brothers and sisters, a declaration from on high, resulting of knowing more than what is written as it appears on the surface. Scripture says Messiah will not judge after what his eyes see, nor what his ears hear, but with the breath of his lips, that by his word, as the word of a master. Yes, my brothers and sisters, Scripture says he will expose every way of the wicked. You need to understand why it is said, my brothers and sisters, that his word is a line upon line, precept upon precept. He speaks after the Spirit of the Most High, discerning how the integration of all the thoughts the Most High has spoken, concept upon concept, line upon line, precept upon precept. If you will, my brothers and sisters, like a well-made cloth, every interwoven thread interwoven perfectly to reinforce the strength of every single thread, truth, but by the Spirit of Yah. It's promised, my brothers and sisters, men, faithful men, at last should be able to receive, to accept, to comprehend that which after carnal mind, after the, let's just say, the shallow-minded vision of those who function after the flesh, so often, my brothers and sisters, such magnificent truth, because they don't discern how the things of the Most High are so relevantly interrelated. They count this exceeding word as foolishness. The Scriptures tell us well that those things that men can count foolish regarding the Yah are just simply wiser than men. So the Scriptures tell us, if any man consider himself wise, if you will, after the inconjunct, inconsistencies, and the presumptuous thinking, hasty conclusions of this world. He said, let him consider himself foolish. Let him consider himself blind. Yes, blind, my brothers and sisters, to the interrelated majesty of what is divine creation and plan. That beyond this Babylonish confusion in the world, in this world, they may absolutely become wise. Remember the apostle Shaul said it well. All this is in 1 Corinthians. If we strive that there are contentions and divisions among us, so we're still functioning as carnal men, the carnal mind, and not as spiritual. The Scripture says we walk according to the flesh, but refuses to reason fully, or seek the fullness of what is necessary to be made strong against every wavering, doubtful debate, and confusion. It says, plainly, my brothers and sisters, if we are wise, that we must discern. It says, plainly, my brothers and sisters, we must know what the acceptable will of Yah is. It tells us that we must put upon ourselves the whole armor of Yah if we are to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Most High has already planned that it is those who are made strong not to be so easily deceived, that my brothers and sisters shall have the inheritance of his kingdom. Those who, according to the book of Jacob, know that it's not after a multitude of diverse ideals of the nations that any man, my brothers and sisters, attains to the reward of the divine promise. He said, let not any double-minded man think he receive anything from Yah. But my brothers and sisters, there are those who would prefer to believe after any one of a multitude differing opinions, wrought after not seeking the whole truth, that they can yet be delivered. Brothers and sisters, it's not after a partial standard that the world shall be confirmed true to Yah, but according to the fullness of what is divine righteousness, after the word of him whose Scripture says, will bring all things to remembrance, to restitution, to restoration, according to all the Most High spoke by his prophets since world began. Like I said, the apostle Shaul said, I know nothing which said plainly, I know nothing of which I am guilty. He said, I might not be right in this, for he said, my judge It's even, my brothers, is in this case, Messiah. So he said, let no man consider himself so wise before the time. Messiah comes to reveal the hidden things that men have not considered. Then shall every man ought to praise Yah. Well, my brothers and sisters, I can only say to you that the early church knew, they knew full well, that a great restoration must yet come. They knew that the world was still in transition. I think about the idea about how 2,600 years ago, Most High raised up the one called the King of the Medes, the King of the Medo-Persian Empire. Isaiah 44 speaks of him. The prophecies that are related concerning him, I'm telling you now, all those prophecies have not yet come to pass. Isaiah 44, 45, 46. That talks about finally a world, even all the world, my brothers and sisters. Being consecrated is a perfect light to the glory of Yah. And the scriptures tell us that Israel, though many might prefer to say so, scripture said in advance that Israel unto himself as a people has not had and will not have unto himself the power to reconcile himself beyond all his differences, beyond all the illusions that are declared among the nations supposedly to be wise. Scripture says their imagination and their vision is dull. They cannot deliver themselves, nor see that what they've trusted in their right hand has been falsehood. Isaiah 44:20. So the scripture says the Most High will send one who will prove foolish the counsel of the rulers who have scattered his people. Scripture says the Most High will send one that he calls his anointed one, a shepherd, who will regather his people, who will set and establish Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, even upon a firm foundation. Yes, my brothers and sisters, one who he sends in the power of his anointing to make the crooked places straight. In other words, every faulty path men shall be able to see beyond. Every high thing, my brothers and sisters, that exalts itself against perceiving the knowledge of Yah, he shall lay low. And every pit and snare that men have trusted in, he shall make level. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, these scriptures speak of what must occur that a whole world shall see again the glory of Yah. The men shall know from the rising of the sun to the west that there's none else to be called Savior. None else, no other conscience, my brothers and sisters, that is the salvation of the world but Yah himself. For no man, I repeat, no man discerns what is the salvation unto himself. Messiah, right there in the presence of his disciples, says, there's many things I long to tell you, but you cannot grasp, receive, bear them now. To the Comforter from on high is sent, who will testify of him. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, scriptures talk about the one who will be the perfecter. Messiah comes to foretell the perfecting of the faith, the restoration of all things. Genesis 49:10 calls that one by the title Shiloh, him unto whom the gathering of the peoples shall be. Why shall the gathering of the peoples be unto him? It is because, my brothers and sisters, this one is the one whom the Most High sends to prove foolish the wisdom of the wise, of those that men have called wise, that all who are wise and reasonable will come to him, that his rest and his peace shall be glorious. In fact, my brother says he shall bring forth a glorious peace. After an invariant light, my brothers and sisters, there will be the consecration and awakening of a whole world. I want you to think about what I said earlier, my brothers and my sisters. Yes, indeed. That without question, I said without question, this world is indeed in transition. There are those who would like to beguile the masses, saying that all that needs to be looked forward to, according to the prophecies, toward the redemption of man is already done. Well, why then, my brothers and sisters, the scripture says the gospel had to go forth to the nations? Is it to tell folks that they didn't need to be converted? The conversion of the world, my brothers and sisters, the hope of the gospel, has never been unto the world remaining divided after a multitude of contentious, self-righteous debates. I say contentious, self-righteous debates, doubts, and opinions. Men yet claiming in the midst of all this controversy, contradiction, still yet claiming to be converted. The heathen, my brothers and sisters, who are polytheists, who compel men to believe that a multitude of differences is still yet the hope of faith. But my brothers and sisters, a multitude of differences can never be a righteous representation of the Most High. A multitude of differences, my brothers and sisters, are only a mockery. Vanity. What does the scripture say? The nations, are the peoples imagine vain things? Because the kings of the earth taking counsel against the Most High and against his anointed. Well, I want you to consider something, my brothers and sisters. In the book of Acts, let me read it straight out. Acts 3:18. Yes, Acts 3:18. Not 3:18 to 23. But those things which God had shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Messiah should suffer. I need to explain something to you. The word Christ is very definitely a Greco-Roman contrivance, not true to what the early church would have called the Messiah. In fact, I would even go as far as to tell you that the very word church and the word that they call Christ is actually in so many ways an intimation to let you know that the ancient word they were used for the Messiah is not the word Christ, but a much more ancient word, my brothers and sisters. If you check it out on my website, hiddengospel.com, early church origin, you will find out about so much of this. The word that they call Christ, my brothers and sisters, by the early church, would have been called the one called the curd egg. The righteous one that is expected, my brothers and sisters, to prove foolish all the various standards of the pastors, priests, rabbis, and elders. That men, my brothers and sisters, might awaken to the will of one. And why the scripture says that he should suffer? Well, when you talk about declaring a word that proves foolish a whole world, well, brothers and sisters, a lot of worldly persecution goes along with that. The prophecy, my brothers and sisters, did not say that all things spoken in the prophets are yet fulfilled. But he said that what he showed by the mouth of his prophets is his Messiah should suffer is so fulfilled. The scripture says the Messiah, that was the last oppression that he would endure. Those who know the prophecies well, like Isaiah 50, know differently. Isaiah, how about going back to Acts 3:18? It says, repent thee therefore and be converted. And be converted. Get the point. The people are still in the midst of conversion. that their sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come before the presence of the Most High. The times of refreshing. Sins blotted out. Go back and read sometimes Isaiah 44 through 45 where he said the time when he would blot out the sins of his people like a thick mist. How about awaken his people beyond all the illusions or misallegiance that are in this world? In the time of refreshing, my brothers and sisters, times of refreshing that the scriptures speak of again. In Isaiah 28, the renewing, the refreshing of all things shall come for the presence of even the presence of Messiah. And he shall send Yeshua. How about my brothers and sisters using the ancient word, Yeshua the Kurdi, the righteous one who was before preached, promised unto you. And he shall send, did you hear me? Yeshua the Kurdi, the righteous one, which was preached before unto you. Oh, who is it, my brothers and sisters, the early church knew as the Kurdi? That they didn't call themselves Christians, but called themselves Kurdishanya. Those of you who listen to this show on a regular basis know exactly what I'm talking about. Those who haven't, please check out my website, Early Church Origin, HiddenGospel.com. Please check out my brothers and sisters also, the many testimonies of God to this that are in the archives. He says, whom heaven must receive, who must remain in heaven until the times of restitution of all things, which Yah has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since world began. The implication here, my brothers and sisters, is pretty plain. Isaiah 28, then, is latter-day prophecy where it talks about the times of refreshing that are to come. There's a need then to examine all those prophecies, particularly, say, then at that point from Isaiah 28 to 32, even beyond. For it says here, all that he's spoken by the prophets since world began, meaning that there's a time of restoration yet to come. There is a goal regarding all the prophecies still yet to come. Scripture would not have to say anything about a need for restitution or remembrance of all things in the latter day if there hasn't been something that men have forgotten. Meaning the early church, or the people of the early church, the saints of the early church came because they looked forward to being counted faithful unto the hope of one. I said the hope of one who would finally reconcile this world according to the promise the Most High gave to Abraham. Scripture says the hope of Abraham was confirmed in the Messiah. Meaning, my brothers and sisters, it is in the coming of Messiah who will have and declare a word that decides the difference between the righteous and the wicked. That it should be discerned, my brothers and sisters, who had faith, even as the faith the Most High told Abraham would bless the world. It didn't say man seeking partialities, imperfect, polluted words. It did not say that these would reconcile the world. It did not say that man functioning out the constraints of the various kings of this world would bring peace. He told him to seek the perfect will of Yah. An exceeding word, my brothers and sisters, transcending all the nations, that the world be one. And he said he will send him, my brothers and sisters, for what purpose? How about confirming all that was Most High spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began? It doesn't sound like any of these things, my brothers and sisters, that any part of this vision is to be negated, but that we seek it all. I've said before on this show, something might sound shocking to a lot of people. Surely the leaders can't talk about the idea about why the scripture says Messiah comes not once but twice but three times according to the book of Isaiah. Once to deliver the people out of Babylon West, another time to bring them from a Babylon East. First from a Babylon East, then from a Babylon West. And one time, my brothers and sisters, to suffer that men might awaken beyond the wickedness of their rulers. That's three times. Isaiah 11 says he comes a second time to do what he did before. That means to deliver his people out of Babylon, out from all the confusions that are this present world. Even to bring Israel back to dwell and finally, my brothers and sisters, at ultimate peace in Jerusalem. Those prophecies, my brothers and sisters, are not yet complete, not yet fully brought to bear. 2 Thessalonians said that this was something that was yet to be expected. For it said, Moshe said unto the fathers, the prophets shall the Most High raise up unto you from among your brethren one like unto him, Moshe. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. It shall come to pass that every soul which would not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. It is the promise of the one called Shiloh unto whom the gathering of the people must be that these prophecies are speaking of. But how many of my brothers and sisters understand this hope? It couldn't talk about my brothers and sisters Messiah coming three times after the same conscience. Because think about it. 2,600 years ago, the one called the Most High called his anointed, brought Israel out of Babylon, out from all the confusions of the various nations. 2,000 years ago, Israel was in bondage as a satrapy, a satellite state, if you will, under Roman rule. So much under Roman rule that it must be considered what actually happened, that Rome had recently murdered all the priests of Jerusalem and set up a Sanhedrin, a priesthood, that said they had no king but Caesar. Even said the one called the Messiah must die, lest the Romans come upon them. Realize, my brothers and sisters, in that Rome had murdered and slaughtered the priests who would be much more faithful unto the hope of the Most High. What Messiah sought to bring 2,000 years ago was a remembrance. Yes, my brothers and sisters, remembrance. The scripture called him the word that is from the beginning, that is eternal with Yah. He said, if you love me, keep. If you have gratitude, then for this remembrance. He said, keep his commandments. And you petition the Father for the Spirit of truth. How about the Spirit that brings all things to remembrance? He said, which the world are those who are satisfied with the constantly spiraling depravities of man. He said, you ask the Father for the Spirit of truth, for those who seek to remember all these things that he said, that he was, had spoken by the mouth of his prophets since the world began. Petitioning, my brothers and sisters, they receive his Spirit. Discern not only what is said by the prophets, but why. Messiah said, Messiah will come with a word, line upon line, precept upon precept. Measuring line to the plummet. Nothing out of order. A word that exceeds the unrighteousness of men. The Messiah said, your righteousness must see that of your rulers. Else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. He reproved the unrighteousness of a priesthood hypocritical after Roman rule and said, go forth and teach this gospel to all the nations. Everything that he said, declaring his authority from on high, not according to the will of men. And indeed, my brothers and sisters, without question, this word, this blessed word, he said would be the redemption of his people, even all world. Well, something to look at about this, my brothers and sisters. It means that since scriptures say that Messiah must come a third time for the restitution of all things, there's been much that men have forgotten. Those who call themselves Hebrews know that there's been a counterfeit faith afoot that has done some seriously deleterious damage and affliction to human conscience. 45,000 denominations, my brothers and sisters, is not the work of the Holy Spirit. 45,000 denominations is not the work of a gospel, a word preached, pure and complete, pure to completion, offering one choice. Most God told me if I could believe such a thing, I could not be a disciple unto him. Well, I say no man is a disciple of Yah who believes a multitude of contentions are the conversion of the human soul. No man is worthy unto the kingdom of Yah, my brothers and sisters, who can believe that, I said the kingdom of Yah. who can believe that a multitude of contentions are viable under peace? I can only tell you, brothers and sisters, that many say they are Hebrews would agree that there's been a false faith afoot, a misadministration of this book they call a Bible, something far away from what must be the Spirit of the Most High. A lot of pagan traditions, my brothers and sisters, have been taught and may have called them something viable amidst the churches. But those who call themselves Hebrews should know better. But I have something to say, my brothers and sisters. Remember what I told you. The prophecies say plainly that Israel is going to find out in the last days that she has not had unto herself the power, the spiritual prowess to discern how completed to be delivered. And the scriptures said plainly that one would come that the Most High had promised that Israel will remember all the things that she has forgotten. And it is the remembrance of those things in total that will decide who are the children of Abraham, him who serves Yah, and him who serves him not. But there's a lot I want to talk about tonight. Let me get on with it. Men were warned that the world would be deceived to trust in a false faith. The total mockery and misrepresentation against the invariant word of the gospel. Scripture talks about a system, even a false concept of a Messiah and a Savior, having horns like a lamb but speaking yet as a dragon. That men would be compelled to trust in a false Messiah. Hey, I want you to think about it. We were warned against the principalities and powers. Why do men want to call Messiah after the title Christ rather than the title that the nations would compel men to forget? Not only the word Mashiach or Messiah or Mashika, but the word, my brothers and sisters, the Kurdi, the righteous one. Because all the prophecies, I want you to understand something. Words have different meanings to different people. But the people of the East, the idea about a Christ, still maintain a multitude of corruptions. And you need to understand what that means. When the scripture talks about the abomination of desolation, or the abomination that makes it desolate, it is an abomination unto a desecration. Anytime the word of truth is desecrated, intruded upon, after the variant principalities and powers of this world, it creates divisions in the midst, which are a curse and not the gospel. This is what the apostle Shaul said. Meaning that the Apostle Shaul's contention was not against the command of the Most High, the pure, perfect word from on high, but was against, my brothers and sisters, whatever divided the people into dissimulation, hypocrisy. Ah, my brothers and sisters, misrepresentative mockery against the truth of Yah. For the rule of the nations, international law, is unto the preservation of a multitude of differences. No one discerning, my brothers and sisters, among the heathen, who believe in the multitude of diverse gods, no one believing or ready to accept the perfect will of one. There's a lot to be said about this, my brothers and sisters. A lot needs to be spoken. They then, my brothers and sisters, who can believe that a multitude of contentions are still yet worthy to be called conversion unto the holy name. Whether they call themselves Jew or Gentile, Hebrew or otherwise. Whoever can believe, my brothers and sisters, that a multitude of these differences are worthy to be called conversion. My brothers and sisters have some awakening to do. Because it's that very self-same spirit, my brothers and sisters, though men say they keep the feast of the Most High, that cause men to honor such heathenish customs as Easter, Christmas, and Sunday. All of these things, my brothers and sisters, after a polytheist mind and heart that finds license in irreverence against what indeed from the beginning is divine plan. Those who say they're Hebrews and departing from such heathenish customs, Easter, Christmas, Sunday, this present Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday, lie. You need to ask why it is that There's 40 days from Fat Tuesday to Easter. Why is there such a connection? All the lasciviousness, carnality of Mardi Gras associated somehow with what some call the most holy day of the year? A day, my brothers and sisters, that the scripture says that if a man keeps, though he cry out to the Most High with a loud voice, he will not hear him. Read. Ezekiel 8? Not to think about that, my brothers and sisters. If you don't know what I'm talking about, please check out on my website, www.hiddengospel.com, an article called Bacchus Connection. I'm putting much of what it is up in the chat now for anyone who would wish to examine it. Bacchus Connection, Bacchus Connection at hiddengospel.com. I want you to think about, my brothers and sisters, this truth. Those who believe in a multitude of contentious ideals, therefore tainted after the ways of this world, are still viable under Yah. But brothers and sisters must awaken, but beyond this, what is this presently subversive, divide and conquer, treacherous travesty? Still have acknowledged what all the prophets have said concerning the fact that most have yet only worshipped what is only after the flesh, apparently, seemingly viable. Messiah, therefore, must expose this short-sighted vision as not sufficient unto salvation. For many who can believe in such short-sightedness, the brothers and sisters have been made gullible, very gullible, easily beguiled. And there's a lot of pastors who, if they know that the people are willing to look for a quick fix, if they're willing, they say that if the people are willing to buy it, they're willing to sell it. You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, men such as this who have no reverence for Yah, no respect for your soul, would only be a bunch of con men, my brothers and sisters. Let's just say, unto whom a very, very deleterious reward awaits. But it will be a blessing, my brothers and sisters, those who want to know the truth. Many have sought to keep the commandments of Yah after the diversely short-sighted surface of the precepts and doctrines that are the fallen conscience of men, and sought to call it sufficiently wise. Many say they observe the commandments in the feast of Yah, but have done something, my brothers and sisters, that is extremely dangerous. They have rejected the expectation of the Restorer King. You talk about some of these things that are written in the book of Malachi concerning this. Scripture said Israel will find in the last days they have not had the power amidst a multitude who seek to exalt themselves, to discern beyond all the anomalies and the self-righteous avarice of man. I want you to think about something. The papacy claimed to have the keys of heaven. The Roman Catholic Church, the Roman Church, after the principalities and powers claiming to have the power to deliver men from the darkness of the world that it already is, it claimed to have the power to even open to man the gates of heaven. They lied, my brothers and sisters. They lied. They claimed that the Pope was a substitute for the Son of Yah. They lied. Scripture talks about that system having horns like a lamb speaking as a dragon, having no respect for Yah, exalting themselves above the very stars of heaven, exalting themselves above all things, saying that the rule of state trumps the rule of the Most High himself. Yes, there's a movie out right now called, they call it Son of God. Caption there, my brothers and sisters, they said concerning, in this movie, they said concerning the Son. They said, talks about how the people esteem, the rulers esteem the world to be their empire. But the truth of the matter, brothers and sisters, the earth belonged to Yah, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Most High has the power to give that world to whom he will. As Messiah said, all authority from on high has been given unto him. Go ye forth and teach all nations. So therefore, truth of the matter is that this world is his kingdom. But has the world been willing to accept this one? Well, my brothers and sisters, there are those today who call themselves Israel, refusing to admit the need for conversion unto the fullness of what the Most High requires, who in so many ways have been just like the heathen, refusing to admit the need for a king. But then the prophet did not say that Israel has power to fully deliver themselves from the pretenses of Babylon. Therefore, Yah has promised the righteous one whom he sends for the restitution of all things, even perform all that is divine pleasure. You can read Isaiah 44, 20 through 46, 13. Perform all what is his pleasure against this confusion that is Babylon. You need to read Isaiah 48. The prophets forewarned, 48 through 51, the prophets forewarned that Israel will not have the power to deliver themselves to fully recover from the grievous wounds that are the afflictions that have been compounded upon the hearts after being scattered amongst a multitude of nations, a multitude of differences, and a multitude of partial and hasty conclusions that currently, my brothers and sisters, afflict the nation and divide it. The deadly sword wound, my brothers and sisters. The word of the gospel that one time, I want you to hear me. The word of the gospel, my brothers and sisters, that in the early years of the church, in the dispensation, wounded this beastly system that refuses to reason as one after the power of the dragon, that functions after the power of the dragon and not Yah. Scripture says in Revelation that deadly wound, or that the deadly wound that afflicted the lie, that four-tongued dragon, that double-minded dragon. Scripture said that wound was healed. And it came from a system, a false church, even a false concept of Messiah in the world, horns like a lamb, speaking as the dragon. If the wound was healed, my brothers and sisters, what do you think it is? Because Scripture says it's a deceptive system. And a lie, my brothers and sisters, and a liar will never tell you that he is lying to you. He will never tell you the whole truth. Seeing you upon a faulty foundation, never tell you all the truth necessary to be truly free. Never tell you enough to get fully out of the trap that he wants you in so he can exploit you. So a half-truth, my brothers and sisters, seeing your brother beguiled, in danger, and not to do all that is necessary to help. That is treacherous against the covenant. The world beguiled has been blinded to perceive many divisions as if they were holiness. Even according to this many, they say this is the blessed will of one. Even to this day, then, the dragon is yet to be slain fully by the sword. Please understand what is the patience and faith of the saints. He who kills by the sword shall die by the sword. He who takes into captivity shall go into captivity. This is the patience and faith of the saints. Scripture talks about Messiah being the one who comes in the latter days in Isaiah 27. Isaiah also, 51st chapter, being the one who slays the dragon that is in the sea. Wherefore, sea is also west. The west was known to be polytheist, the place of darkness and not light. So Israel be misled after, led after the beast to continually forget who the prophecies said must do all that is required of Yah unto the salvation of man. Shall man forever forget, my brothers and sisters, who is the one Most High called his righteous one, who shall perform all his pleasure to deliver his people from every misconceit. Remember that it's amazing. I said before, let me complete the idea. The papacy claim to have the keys of heaven. And the Protestant denominations have all sought to do the self same thing. It's competition. My brothers and sisters, that's compelled men to do it. So the Protestant denominations have all claimed to have the power to open the doors to the kingdom of heaven, access truly unto Yah. But at the same time, they made the claim They did not seek that men understand all things, for the scriptures say the one who comes to deliver the people will reprove all the pastors, priests, rabbis, elders, the rulers, the imams, I don't care what you call yourselves. But will reprove them all. The men recognize the exceeding wisdom of one. I ask the question, my brothers and sisters, that was the hope of Shiloh. That was the hope of the one called the Kurdi, the righteous one, like the rising sun who casts out all the darkness, who reveals the light the world would obscure. Shall Israel, too, like the nations, refuse to accept the hope of a king for the express purpose that everybody wants to rule the world? Every denomination, pastor, priest, rabbi, and elder wants to sit back and say that he has what's necessary to consecrate a world unto the will of one. A multitude of diverse standards, my brothers and sisters, and misallegiances into which the people who have called upon the name of the Most High, multitude of misallegiances in which they're contentious in their doctrines and opinions one against another, cannot be true to the first command that says you shall have no other God but He, no other standard but His. Every lie man believes is an obstacle against the certain greater dimension of truth. But it's an abomination of desecration that prevents men, my brothers and sisters, wherever they believe in any short-sighted, polluted doctrine, it is an obstacle against men coming unto holiness. It's an obstacle against men being fully restored and healed. It's an obstacle, my brothers and sisters, against men being truly healed, to know the pure and perfect will of one beyond all the debates and doubts that are blind to the hearts of men. It's time that people understand that the multitude of differing doctrines taught in the world are not the salvation of man. They are not the peace of mankind. They're not the common understanding of mankind. In fact, the multitude of differing doctrines, partial and incomplete, are obstacles. And the scripture says the day comes, according to Isaiah 25, that it will be said in Messiah's appearing that he will cast aside the veil that is over all the nations, the covering that is all over all the people. That means every partial and perverted standard to keep people from looking for the greater dimension of truth. Quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, if you believe that any one of these partial standards is sufficient, you are in bondage to that short-sightedness, that fallen standard, because it's still not true to all Yah says that he is. His very name means that he is not only as he is, but all that he is, that he cannot deny himself. Messiah said the righteous must exceed whoever it is who would deny the law and the prophets in any way, else you shall in no case enter the kingdom of Yah. The righteous must exceed your leaders who do this. That's why the nations are divided. Else you shall not enter his kingdom. When he calls forth his people to reason with him, beyond all the rulers of the nations, whoever, my brothers and sisters, resists because of their allegiance to a lesser standard, will face the greater tribulation. I see somebody in the chat. Well, I tell you what. There is a method calling into the show. Juan Calabria. Okay. There's a method for calling in. I see they've already left. But if they come back, I can tell you that there's a method for calling to the show. 661-554-9212. Perhaps you come back, or you listen to this show in the archives, you can do that. If you're on the phone, actually, I can tell you the show will extend a little bit beyond the time that is allowed. And it's possible we might get a chance to talk personally. Would, my brothers and sisters, I say all of you who listen to this show who have any questions, please keep that in mind if we don't get a chance to talk during the regular time of the show. I'd love to be able to answer your questions. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. If Israel, like the rest of the nations, that have hated the coming of a king of kings, a Shashan Shai, a Shiloh, who must expose all the irrationality of the nations, If Israel does the same, brothers and sisters, shall men say that they are Israel? The book of Galatians says it this way. If you belong to, and I hope you understand this, the one called Shiloh, the Kurdi. So if you belong to Shiloh, the Kurdi, the righteous one, with that expectation of a righteousness that transcends all the nations, the scripture says plainly, my brothers and sisters, then are you the sons of Abraham according to that promise. But I would say, my brothers and sisters, if you have a hope of one whose righteousness transcends all the nations, that the world might be made one, then you have the hope that Abraham had that the world might be blessed. And it's time that we understand this, that nothing less will decide who is the children of Abraham. It is now, my brothers and sisters, and always has been a fatal thing to forget this. I want you to hear me. Scriptures talk about Messiah coming three times. Each time it's a restoration. Scripture said in the last days it's the same thing. Shall we forget, my brothers and sisters, that Scripture says man's wound and his partialities will only be overcome in the coming of Messiah to expose the pretense? That's what's written in 2 Thessalonians in the second chapter. How the men have believed otherwise to exalt themselves, not to know what the scripture means when it says they who wait for him, even the righteous ones should renew their strength. Consider Isaiah 40:27-41:4 and understand, O Israel. I say again, O Israel, is there no king in you or no king among you? No one among you who would prepare you for what is to be? Have you no king, no righteous one among you? This is what they who revere the Most High often preach to one another. What do you think it means when the scripture says in Isaiah, well, how about Malachi 2:17? It talks about men saying that everyone who does evil after his own heart, king of his own soul, is good in the sight of the Most High and that he delights in such. And the Aramaic says, speaking as if there's no righteous one, no one who will come who will judge mankind by righteous judgment. He said you should suddenly come to the temple and he's going to reprove all the priests who taught men such things. Who's ready to understand? I'd like to look for a minute. Hopefully I got enough time to go through all the things I want to talk about tonight. It seems like that there's never enough time. But I'd like to give consideration to some things, my brothers and sisters. I'd like to look at these scriptures at Malachi. I said Malachi, I have it in the chat. Speaking of the nature of man today and what men have been taught to believe and think. Most I've said in Malachi 3:13, your words have been arrogant against the very sovereignty of his name. And the people have asked, what have we spoken against Yah? So the people have said it's vain to serve Yah. How about when people say it's vain to seek to serve Yah after the fullness of his will beyond all the vanities that are the countermanding ideals of men? In other words, people feel like it's better that they serve according to the differences of mankind to appeal as much as they can to what is necessary to receive esteem from men. So you say it's vain to serve Yah, vain to seek him according to the truth of all that is his gospel. And you say, what profit is it that we have kept his charge, his commands, walked humbly before the Most High hosts? And people have even gone as far as to say that they call the arrogant, the proud, the abominably proud who refuse to be shapen after the mind of Yah. You call them blessed, as if the world could be blessed, made one, made whole, made true, brought into cooperation in a covenant after such attitudes, saying not only are the doers of evil, evildoers built up, well set up, strong, well set up, but you even say that they can tempt and provoke the Most High and yet be delivered. Scripture says this is the type of things that those who claim to revere Yah often spoke, preached to one another. 45,000 denominations. People getting their so-called degrees from seminary schools that they can take this generic degree to any one of them. Can you ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, this has not been about absolution for these people? So this is the type of thing that those who say they revered the Most High spoke often to one another, and the Most High heard and gave attention to it and wrote it in a book of remembrance before him. Hey, my brothers and sisters, a book of remembrance to discern those who revere, would revere and honor his name. My brothers and sisters, did you hear what I said? Honor his name? Is it honor unto the Most High? Did you hear me? Is it honor, honor, honor unto the Most High? Men revere a multitude of polluted and partial standards. They cannot give glory to him in the full sovereignty as he is. And he said, those, my brothers and sisters, who would revere his name, truly revere his name, he said, they shall be mine. They shall be his, says Yah. He will gather them together in the days he gathers up those who are counted precious. The rare ones, my brothers and sisters, who know they hearken to him. And he says, them he will spare as a man spares his own son who serves him. Did he say he would spare the ones, my brothers and sisters, who continue to walk after wickedness, lawlessness, who refuse to reason after the truth? He said, you discern the difference in that day between the righteous and the wicked. Yes, the righteous and the wicked that are among you. Like I said, my brothers and sisters, Messiah comes, the scripture says, to perform all things the Most High has spoken. That the day, since the world began. Scripture says he comes to perform all that is divine pleasure. That's about to declare a word true to all the righteous that, yes, by the Spirit of Messiah was spoken through all the prophets. Look at first cape of 1 Peter 1:10 through 11 and understand that all the prophets spoke by the Spirit of the Messiah, the current day, unto the expectation of the righteous one that was in them. And then so will you discern the difference between the righteous and the wicked, the lawless. Between the ones who would serve Yah and those who have served him not. For he says, behold, the day is coming. I'm talking about amongst those who even call themselves Israel today, my brothers and sisters. Because many prefer to reject the hope of a king. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, we live in a world today that every single day it is being legislated more so and become more and more apparent that the system we live in is legislating, my brothers and sisters, though men say they have freedom of religion, it is being made more and more illegal according to the system after its mandates of corruption and compromise that men don't realize by and large, many have not realized that what is actually being legislated is that you have no right under pure religion. You have no right to talk about seeking and abiding in and upholding what before Yah is clean and pure. And the scriptures did say and prophesy in advance that in the day of Messiah, you look around and say there's no place clean. For he says, behold, Malachi 4:1, the day is coming, my anger shall burn as a furnace. Most I don't like looking at ugly, my people. And all the arrogant and the evildoers, those who love the deviations we see among us, will be chaff. And they that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Most High, that will leave them neither root nor branch, nothing after which to regrow. Nothing after which to bring forth a progeny. He said, you revere my name. How about who would revere and honor that the Most High is all that he is, will not deny himself? He said, the one called the Son of Righteousness, the righteous one like the rising sun then, will arise with healing upon his lips. He will go forth and skip about like the cows of the stall. His people, my brothers and sisters, the flock, the faithful flock, will go forth, my brothers and sisters, finally under freedom. I want you to understand something. Anytime men talk about lacking the discipline or being beyond the discipline of the Most High and call it freedom, my brothers and sisters, It is the bastardization, a mass bastardization of a world entire. Please understand, my brothers and sisters, Scripture says, without the knowledge of the law of the Most High, without his discipline, says you're a bastard and not a son. Please understand, my brothers and sisters. Scripture say in Isaiah 14 that the way of this wicked system is that it has smitten the people, afflicted the people, and they haven't even realized how much they have been without instruction. He said, but in that day he shall tread down the wicked, and they should be ashes on the soles of your feet in the day which I am preparing, says the Most High of hosts. Please, my brothers and sisters, understand these prophecies that we're speaking about here. The one called the Son of Righteousness that arises says the wicked should be ashes on the soles of your feet. He's talking about the wicked shall be counted those who continue to walk after the rulers, who the Scripture says Most High will send his Messiah, that the kings of the earth will be dust to his sword and driven stubble to his bow. Please understand what he means then when he says your righteousness must exceed that of your leaders who have compromised his will, else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. There's much about this to be understood. Many say that they would tell the people they need to come out of this Babylon. But brothers and sisters, the nature of worldliness is that men have refused to acknowledge the one king. But the Most High has a plan for revealing that king. Why is it that most know nothing of the plan? My website, hiddengospel.com, article called Secret City Prophecies, speaks much concerning this. I say it's time to wake up and realize the abomination that makes desolate, my brothers and sisters, is among you. Men believing all manner of corrupt doctrines and lies, my brothers and sisters, let me tell you something, you profane a holy covenant, it's neither holy nor is it a covenant. And there's no deliverance in it. So your righteousness, my brothers and sisters, will be kind of like a filthy rag, vain. You can't wash anything clean, my brothers and sisters, with an unclean thing. And the Most High desire that his people be kind of worthy to wear white robes. None of the corruptions and the misallegiances of the nations in their minds or hearts. When the Scripture says that they wash their white robes white in the blood of the Lamb, means they realize because of the shed blood of the Messiah and the conscience that comes as a result of receiving his spirit. He said, if I do not go, the comforter will not come. They realize the need to attain to a conscience beyond all the rulers. And since garments are also symbolic of one's conscience and his allegiances, people wore different kind of clothes in different nations. See, they washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. It means they washed themselves of all the allegiances of the various standards of the nation, the marks of the beast, the nation that would not reason as one. And that's what that word Gentile means. It means the troop of animals who will not reason as one. Look up the Hebrew word goyim. Look at the word heathen and understand. In your Strong's Concordance and understand. My brothers and sisters, I want you to understand something. There's a reason why in Isaiah 64 it said, oh Yah, that thou will come down and rend the heavens. Because the Scriptures talk about there's a need for people to recognize that their iniquities, even as it says in Isaiah 59, have heard good things from them. You ever stop to consider that man's allegiances to a multitude of different ideas, being arrogant, thinking that they are wise because their allegiance are to the things of this world? The multitude of man's allegiances are sin. Man's lack of cooperation has heard peace from him. Do you really think the Most High wants to bless a people who will never cooperate as one with him, that he gets nothing out of all his investment? Do you really believe, my brothers and sisters, the Most High intends to forever bless a world that will not cooperate, that will not or has refused to reason? Man's love for a multitude of diverse allegiances has been a mockery and ingratitude against the Most High. Remember, Messiah was ultimately said, if you have gratitude unto me for the restoration that I bring. He said, preserve the words of that conscience. And he revealed even more. What then has happened to a world, my brothers and sisters, that started itself wise without seeking that fullness? I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters. I want you to understand. I pray the Most High that we grant you the spirit to see the truth. Why the scriptures say in Isaiah 59 that the way of peace men have known not. The only way of peace, my brothers and sisters, is the world consecrated under the will of one. And men transgressing and lying against the Most High because of the multitude of their allegiances could never be counted true to him. So let not the double-minded man of the provocation of the nations think he'll receive anything from Yah. Whoa, that is a very powerful statement. So I would ask the question in Revelation 18, who is that angel, the king, sent with a message of freedom and liberty? How about the gospel of Revelation, revolution from above, written up, if you will, that the earth will be lightened by his glory in Revelation 18? That all eyes shall see indeed what is the glory of Yah. That righteous one who incites the hearts of his elect one, saying, come out of all my people. Oh! Come out of all my people. How many of my brothers and sisters understand that if Israel says that she is wise after a multitude of Babylonish worldly contradictions, differences after the flesh and not after the one spirit, that the Most High is saying that his call after his exceeding light will decide the difference, for brothers and sisters, between the sons of light and the sons of darkness. Who is Israel and who is not? And in fact, the scriptures talk about the one called the angel from the rising sun. The word for angel and king is the same. Angel like the rising sun, Revelation 7:2. Has a seal, the confirmation of the Most High, meaning he has a covenant of righteousness that will decide between the righteous and the wicked. He will decide who it is, my brothers and sisters, who is counted Israel or not by the strength of his word. Who is it, my brothers and sisters, that will discern this? Which is why the scripture says, seek all his righteousness, else you shall not enter the kingdom of God. Which is why the scriptures admonish mankind to seek out all that is said by all the prophets. Ask the Most High to show how all these things work together. That when the day of restitution of all things comes, you might have all your sins blotted out. That you might awaken to see what's necessary to transcend all the misrule of man. For the scripture says when the Messiah comes to declare a word according to all the prophets have said, those who will not perceive reckoning according to all his word will have no inheritance. In fact, the scripture says they'd be cut off from among the people. But the scripture said it is the Most High who will send Messiah who will write, describe, teach, even by his spirit, his law upon the minds and hearts. The law of Yah, that you be his people. No longer subject to those who would hide the truth from you. He said, if you're my disciples, you know the truth will set you free. Come out of all my people, he said, lest you be partakers with the iniquities of this Babylonish whore and all her sinful allegiances, lest you be smitten by the plagues that shall befall those, my brothers and sisters, who prove that they are unwilling, though they say they seek salvation and deliverance, to love the ways of the deliverer. People who say that they want salvation but hate the way of the Savior. Who say they want the kingdom but hate the way of the King. Because they say they're what? Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Seventh-day Adventist, Hebrew, Israelite, whatever. But brothers and sisters, you realize that the scriptures are saying it's not men who define the term or even the name according to all his purpose that declares salvation. It is not man, my brothers and sisters, but Yah. And Yah has purposed to ransom for the lives of his people. Who then, my brothers and sisters, is willing to hear it? Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Like those who worshiped the Artemis, Isis, Diana, Ishtar, Isis, ooh, all the pagan Astaroths of old. My brothers and sisters, you ever stop to consider that what people call religion today, having many faces, many so-called persons differing, are not the will of one, and this is Babylon? I want you to think about it. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters. For Israel to be delivered, all that was declared of old must be remembered. If men truly today who call themselves Israel have remembered all these things, would these divisions exist? There's a scripture that talks about it this way. There's a lot of ones. I wish I had time to talk about it now, but I've got about 12 minutes. Maybe I need to devote these remaining minutes to this concept. I want you to consider something. Egypt has corrupted, the scripture says in Isaiah 19. If people will find out in the last days, the ways of the nation have corrupted the peoples, even unto departure from the foundation of their families. Read Isaiah 19 at this website, relating what is in the Aramaic, www.lamsabible. In other words, the ways of a multitude of differing rulerships have corrupted even the solid foundation that the family is supposed to be. But the family is supposed to be, my brothers and sisters, even the fatherhood and the family is supposed to be unto all people being disciplined after the way of Yah. I want you to think about it. Stated today, what is present state government has mandated complicity in a lot of corruptions. Amidst what men call religious freedom, I ask again, is there no right under pure religion? And you ask the question what the scriptures say pure religion is. I ask the question, my brothers and sisters, in a society that tells you you have to comply with everybody's so-called differences, is holiness now called illegal? Must all seek the favor of state after the mark of the beast whose power is after that of the fork-tongued dragon, that they may buy or sell? Read Revelation 13:14 and understand the nature of the system, my brothers and sisters. I want you to think about this. Gay rights groups have conspired against every institution that would segregate themselves, or let's just say, who would they say would discriminate. Do you hear, my brothers and sisters, against what they consider their supposed right? Gay rights groups conspired against every institution that giving attention to biblical edict would reserve right, my brothers and sisters, to be pure from this abomination. That the scripture says that a man lies with man, or he shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. But whenever, think about it, these groups have seen that it's possible that any institution would want to uphold itself, not having to be intruded upon by an unscriptural edict. Not saying that they aren't doing it already themselves, but they want to go to the courts and assure they still have a right. Wherever they go to flaunt what is actually scriptural and godliness, whatever they see that might reprove their death style, they say they are dead to, basically saying that they are dead to the commands of the Most High, saying that He loves and delights whatever it is they come up with. Wow. Then my brothers and sisters, if they could, would make the way of the Most High a thing dead to all, that no one discerns or is sensitive unto the righteous discernment of what is divine will. Scripture says you must, however, discern what the perfect will of Yah is. I want you to think about this. To deny any part of the law is to break it. To transgress against the lawgiver is to defy Yah. Is there no freedom, my brothers and sisters, to seek the true salvation and the restoration and the keeping of the soul? As the scripture says, pure religion, keeping the world untainted, unstained from the ways of the world. For all being mandated to uphold worldly corruptions, that they be called citizens. It is sure that our people and our world, my brothers and sisters, that men have a right to seek righteousness. It's sure, my brothers and sisters, that our people, even a world, is in need of a king. Discern the extreme implications of what then, my brothers and sisters, so-called founding fathers have decreed when they say that this is governed up for and by the people. Saul was cut off from being king because he ignored the command of Yah to uphold the ways of a people. And in this case, my brothers and sisters, a people misled by their rulers. My brothers and sisters, shall men say that there's a vicious cycle that must contend, must continue, must contend against Yah, must contend against the forms of his righteousness, contend against an offering that's acceptable unto him? The rulers are mandated in this Babylonish system, my brothers and sisters, there be no place clean, no place of escape from those who would corrupt the minds of others. So remember, take with this unruly, these unruly marks of the beast, seeking first the favor of state. Oh, if I could sit back and tell you about the low-down Masonic rites, if you want to call it that, that have been part of rulership in this Babylonian system for a long time. I one time spoke about the idea about the need to check out Wikipedia and the article about the Ottoman Empire. I mean, do you know, my brothers and sisters, there was a time when Russia sought to threaten both East and West. In other words, Europe and the nations of Asia, nearer Asia, what was called the Ottoman Empire, that the West told them that they would only help fight against Russia, who was a threat to them both, if they relaxed their prohibition against homosexuality. You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, the kind of mindset that has been amidst the rulers for a very long time. I want you to think about something. These rulers, as the scriptures have said, indeed proven true to what has been was prophesied to be Western oppression in Daniel 8:5 through 25, always coming against the King of Kings and the Prince of Princes, against the monotheist hope of the faith. That in fact, my brothers and sisters, they murdered millions in the first centuries to silence the hope of Kurdishania, the Shiloh, the one who approves all the rulers. And a false faith after what they call the Christ has remained. To the sanctioning of all these corruptions, even though the scripture said Messiah said all power has been given unto him, he did not say the various rulers of the world. That his people might be free, seeing the exceeding righteousness of Yah. The one called Shiloh, that all men might be regathered unto him, even the word that is from the beginning. What scripture says, Yahweh 127 is pure religion. The visits of fathers and the widows. Visit the fathers and widows and keep oneself untainted from the world. Visit means to help those, my brothers and sisters. They call fatherless and the widows. You need to understand ancient Hebrew society. The fathers were to teach the children, were to teach the family the way of the Most High. And I want you to understand the prophecies that were given, the command from on high that were given to the prophet says there should be no one left without discipline in Israel. In fact, the scripture says any man without the discipline by which he is trained is a bastard and not a son. Yet there are those who would prefer to have no discipline from the Most High and say that they are still yet his sons. Scripture says there should be no undisciplined bastard in Israel, no one left lawless, mercilessly buffeted by all manner of fornications. Ooh, I need to really talk about this, my brothers and sisters. Messiah said if any man divorces his wife except for the cause of fornication, he leaves her over to adultery. You need to understand they didn't have some of the social systems that they have today. A woman without a husband might be left to be victimized by so many different influences of society and whoever would help the household. But I understand, my brothers and sisters, marriage. Oh, have they sought to even destroy the biblical definition of marriage, the idea of a family, a man and a woman? Think about it. You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, what they have done. The very fabric of what is supposed to be the foundation of society, they sought to destroy. The idea about all the families of the Most High being brought together after the will of one, they sought to destroy. The scripture says, whoever is left undisciplined is a bastard, not a son. Look at Hebrews 12 and understand. And the wicked, the rulers have smote the people, my brothers and sisters, after multitude of corruptions have become just like them. I can only tell you that Malachi prophesied that the Most High hates this kind of divorce. He was a witness between you, he said, you and the wife of your youth. Because in covenant of marriage, all who came there and witnesses were obligated to help that marriage survive. And in fact, my brothers and sisters, those who were married were obligated unto the entire congregation. In fact, all the people, that the truth of the Most High and the name in which they were consecrated should be one. What do you think it means? The scripture says, go back and remember your first love. Did he say Messiah would come to restore the heart of the fathers to the children, heart of the children to the fathers? It means for constancy, my brothers and sisters. Read Revelation 2, 1 through 4, 5. I want to talk more about this because I know that there's only about a couple of minutes left. I'm not going to be able to talk about everything about this that I want to speak because there's so much more about it that needs to be understood. Believe me, my brothers and sisters, there is. Have men forsaken? Yes, even all the people forsaken the
90 seconds
within a household to preach all things the Most High desires, because people have not even known to cooperate together to provoke one another unto good works, lest they offend those who would be godless, those who would be lawless, those who say that whatever command they see in the book that affects their so-called rights.
60 seconds.
Prefer that no one give honor unto him who made the law. Scripture says there should be no bastard in Israel. No one left to whoredoms in Israel. Who, my brothers and sisters, will understand that if men say that they are in protest against discipline, free, in protest against divine discipline, free, it has been a bastardization of society, as a society, and the scripture says this is a total pretense, not salvation, not a covenant, not salvation, but damnation. Who understand in his time, and Israel must understand the need for a king. To speak again, my brothers and sisters, it's been Enemy Out of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, to his might, to his honor, and to his praise always. Let it be, my brothers and sisters, the world should awaken. To the might, honor, and praise the one Most High always, I thank you all for listening. Hallelujah!
You got